Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Carol Chen has started some six businesses over the course of her career and has found herself, like many companies, having to innovate and really move forward to make sure that her company would be able to survive. Many of you listeners may know her, of course, from her work with the company Covatella, which was renting and selling high-end dresses throughout the community here. And then she moved on to Maskella during COVID-19, making masks. And now she is launching her own new eponymous label, Carol Chen. Welcome to Weekend Morning. So great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Glenn. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great to get you on. And we've talked so much over the years. And one of the things that I think is so amazing is you never stop. You keep going no matter what. No matter what's put in front of you, you either go through it, around it, over it, or underneath it. Tell us what this past year has been like for you.
Well, like most people, it's been quite a challenge. Of course, Covatella is very heavily event focused. So once COVID happened, our business was pretty much obsolete. And with no fancy events, there's no need for fancy dresses. Yeah. So I had to actually figure out a way to pivot quite quickly, which is how we transitioned into making fancy masks with Maskella.
Yeah, and the process of doing that, I know you had to eventually, I believe you were taking some of the dresses, were you from Covatella, and then how was that working with Maskella?
Yeah, definitely. So it was actually quite a funny story because I was wearing surgical masks back in April when, quite frankly, a lot of people weren't even taking this seriously and masks weren't required. And, you know, I would get a lot of comments, even like, you know, going out to grocery stores or other places, like, why are you wearing a mask? You look scary. You should take it off because nobody else is wearing one. And, you know, I just felt like, why do I have to be embarrassed about protecting myself and others? So literally after one of these instances, I went back to my showroom and I decided to cut up one of my evening gowns at Covatella and make like a sequin mask that was like super shiny and fancy. And I said, no one's going to think I look scary like this. So, and actually it worked, you know, I posted it on my social media and just to get some responses and people thought I looked fabulous and nobody said I looked scary again. So I just kind of ran with it. And actually that was only a couple of days before circuit breaker happened. I literally like brought like a ton of dresses back to my apartment and I was like buying up all these fabrics in like the 4 days, and I literally launched Maskella out of my bedroom, just cutting up all my dresses because they weren't being used anyway, and like all the fabric stores were closed by then.
Yeah,
so it's not like I could actually get fabric, so I was literally using dresses, and it was doing so well that I actually had to cut up dresses that I didn't even really want to cut up. But you know, it was helping me to survive more than Covatella was at the time.
Talk about upcycling, huh? I mean, that's really, wow. Taking expensive dresses and cutting them up for masks.
Right. But it's funny because, you know, I mean, you know, secondhand resale is great. But the value you can get for a dress is not that much. But then, you know, having a unique product and something that's differentiated in the market is very valuable. And we were one of the first ones to do designer masks. So, it's been like crazy. Like within like the first month, we were already shipping like hundreds around the like world to like different countries. We've already shipped to like, I think, 15 different countries. And when I actually looked yesterday at the list of countries that have gone to our website, I think it's like over like 90 countries have been browsing. And I'm like, how did people like Zimbabwe find us? That's so crazy. But it's been an incredible ride. Like I never would have thought that, quite frankly, like this business would do better than my last business.
It's interesting because I know that initially you just sort of started this as something to do while you were sitting around. I might be slightly over exaggerating that, but has it really become a viable business in and of itself?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the advantages of having an e-commerce business is that you can ship worldwide. Your market is so much bigger and you're able to scale faster. With Cavatella, you know, we had extreme amount of difficulty being able to ship to other countries and then return the dresses back to us, right? I mean, I think we probably shipped to like 10 countries over the 5 years, but like, you know, someone shipping to Cape Town would get slapped with like $160 worth of duties. Right. And it doesn't even make renting a dress worth it anymore. And then like it would get stuck in Jakarta, not being through customs. And it was just like a mess. So like Cavatella, even though it was an amazing business, super fun, we couldn't really figure out how to scale outside of Singapore. And so it kind of became this like very local business, which is great, you know, and like because we had been very established and we dressed the stars of Crazy Rich Asians, which was amazing. You know, we kind of became like a staple here for designer rentals. But Mascella is just like another level because already out of the gate, people were able to find us around the world. Of course, a lot of my friends in the U.S. were very supportive and helped spread the word. So it just ramped up really quickly. And, you know, I think it really shows you like you really have to listen to what the market demand is. You know, after starting a lot of businesses, I've always kind of done them out of necessity, really. Like, you know, okay, I started off as a designer. And as a young designer, you know, you kind of think, oh, I just want to design things that are pretty and that I would wear. And you don't really think if there's really a market for it. So for young entrepreneurs, I always tell them, like, you know, make sure that there's a demand for the product that you want to create, because otherwise it's just a hobby if you're not making any money.
Yeah, we're speaking with Carol Chen, fashion entrepreneur. And Carol, as you mentioned, you've done this a number of times now. It's not your first rodeo in terms of starting a business. So the element of timing, to me, always seems to be one that entrepreneurs hit famously well or miss spectacularly badly. And it seems like in this particular case, you really hit it well with Mascella especially.
Yes, thank you. Like I said, I think we had the advantage of being one of the first ones and being able to pivot so quickly. But also because of my design background, I feel like, you know, I've had an advantage of being able to have an eye for different fabrics. But I was also very meticulous about how our masks were made. I knew it would be a very saturated market. So I decided to position ourselves as more premium, because anyone can sell a $10, $20 mask. But we've literally had customers buying our masks for up to $300, which is insane.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like some of our masks are like 100 to 300 and they've been, and you know, I kind of did it like, well, one, they're hand sewn. So if I'm going to spend like hours and hours of my time hand sewing a mask, like I'm not going to sell it for $20.
Right.
So
yeah,
like,
sure.
You know, they're very special. They're one of a kind, you know, no two pieces look the same. And so, you know, it's for people who really want something unique and special. And of course they make great gifts. We've also added like mask chains and other things like that. So people, I mean, I think people would be surprised like how much you'd actually spend on something you wear every day. And for me, I tell people masks are like shoes, right? You have shoes for different occasions. If you're going running, don't wear a Mascella mask. You probably can wear one of these Under Armour masks. But if you're going out to a nice dinner with friends, you want to dress up, that's when you put like a fancy designer mask on.
Yeah, brings new thought to the phrase foot in mouth, doesn't it? If you're having your mask and shoes. Anyway, that's a whole other story. We have a viewer on Facebook Live. It looks like he's probably from Chicago, I'm guessing. Can someone introduce me to Carol? She's my secret crush. I guess you probably know who that is. Joe joining us from the U.S. Hi, Joe. Nice to have you on with us today. Carol, you know, with the pleasure of Mascella also came, you know, a certain amount of pain of having to close down Cavatella, which was really your baby for years now. And you worked so hard to get that up and going. You had a beautiful studio and, you know, lots and lots, hundreds of dresses and all of that. Tell us about the process you had to go through of winding down a business that was so close to you, because many people, probably even some listening today, have either had to go through that experience or maybe in that experience right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it definitely helped that I've had to close multiple businesses in the past. I had a fashion brand in LA that essentially went bankrupt. I had an MMA brand in Hong Kong that didn't work out. And so, you know, I've been through it, but it's never hard. It's like breaking up with a boyfriend. You know, it's like, it's,
really?
It's never easy unless it gets really bad, right?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, Covetella was one of those things where it's just like, it's not a great relationship and it's not like being that helpful anymore. But, you know, you still have a lot of memories there. So it's still hard to let go sometimes. So I'm not going to lie. I definitely struggled with it. Although I feel like a lot of people on the outside felt like it just seemed very seamless. I just jumped from one business to another. But I mean, looking back, I probably should have just shut it down in March, you know, when I saw that people were canceling all of their events and like this was becoming a thing. But I held on to it, you know, hoping, and obviously the government helped with some relief programs. But I kept holding on to it, kept renegotiating my rent with my landlord to see how we could just like keep going and then come back over, you know, after the pandemic was over. But I think then it got to the point where it's like, we don't know when this is going to end, right? We don't know when events are going to come back.
I mean, and hindsight is always 2020, isn't it? You know, you can always look back and say, but at that point in time, nobody knew how long this was really going to go on for. And honestly, we still don't, do we?
Right, exactly. So, and, you know, because I had, and, you know, back to the boyfriend analogy, I'm sorry, but like, once you find somebody better, then it's really easy to let go, right? And that's what Mascella was for me, right? Mascella was like, you know, this better version of business that was a lot, you know, a lot more advantageous. And so at that point, once it got to the point where, you know, it was making more money than Covetella, frankly, ever did, then, you know, it was easier to let go.
That was easy.
At that point,
yeah.
You know,
in terms of closing a business, is it sort of the Band-Aid analogy, just rip the Band-Aid off as fast as you can and get it done? Or do different businesses need a certain level of care and consideration when you think about closing them down, as you have done this a couple of times now?
Right. So I think that's a big reason why I never took on investors, because I think it depends on the nature of your business and how complex your shareholding is, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have a lot of other parties involved, then it does become like this prolonged process. And it's not just about you. You have to consider everyone who's involved, business partners, investors, et cetera. So even though early on, like we did get term sheets and like offers for investment, there was always a part of me that said, you know, until I really, really need it, like I'm going to scale to the US or something like that, then I really want to be in full control of the future and be able to make decisions quickly, as like this year, I mean, it happened like that, right?
Yeah.
Had I had a lot of other parties involved, I think it would have been even a like more drawn out process. But because it was just me, I own 100% of the company, I can shut it down next week. No one can say anything.
Right.
And I literally just did, you know, after once I made the decision, okay, I'm going to do this. Then I told my interns, okay, we have to get rid of everything in the store in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And we just had like these massive, you know, fire sales and sold off our inventory. And actually, you know, because our dresses are timeless, they actually went for, you know, a good price. So I didn't feel like I was actually losing that much. It was, we were able to sell off our inventory for quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all of our furniture was still in good condition. So the liquidation process went better than I expected. Mm. And fortunately, I had a good team of interns to help me juggle that, because also at the time of trying to close down Covetella, like Mascella was like really ramping up. And then I was doing this design competition. So I was literally juggling three businesses at the same time, which is crazy.
But Carol, you're usually doing at least three things. In fact, I was going to say that's probably a fewer number of things than you normally are juggling at any point in time. So I wouldn't have thought that'd be too much trouble for you. But that's a good segue to the winner of the Singapore Fashion Award 2020. It was a big event here in Singapore. Tell us about the competition, the Singapore Stories Design Competition, I believe it was called. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So actually, you know, I had been hired to produce the show originally. because I produce fashion shows on the side. And, you know, so I did like a site recce. But then once I realized what the prize package was, you get to be featured at the Asian Civilization Museum. You get to go to Paris Fashion Week representing Singapore. Like, all of these amazing things. I was like, wow, like, that's so awesome.
You're like, organize it yourself. I'm joining the competition.
Yeah, exactly. Basically what happened. But it was really good because I think, you know, there's always been a part of me. I've been wanting to be a fashion designer ever since I was a little girl. Mm. I was started like making dresses out of, you know, like newspapers and blankets since I was like 5 years old. and then I eventually got my fashion design degree. And I think a lot of people in Singapore don't know that I was trained as a fashion designer and that was like my life. You know, over here I'm more as just like a businesswoman, entrepreneur. Mm. But, you know, back in the US, I was a designer. So I always kind of wanted to go back to that eventually, but I just felt like the timing was never right. And, you know, part of it is scary, you know, launching your own brand, especially one that's tied to your own name.
Of course.
Is quite hard, you know, because especially when you name it after yourself, you're like, wow, this is such a representation of who I am. And it just adds so much pressure that
you can't mess it up, right? You cannot mess it up.
Yeah, you can't. Exactly. So I'm like, oh my God. So I kept pushing it off. But once this competition came around, I was like, and then obviously COVID was happening. I wasn't sure how Moschello was doing. Covatello was on the decline. So I was like, why not? You know, better time than ever. I don't really have that much to do. So I thought, so let me just give this a shot. Right. And this is the perfect time to maybe like chase this pipe dream of launching Carol Chen and see what happens and use this as a launching pad. So I did it and it was amazing because, you know, TAF put together all these great mentorship programs. So I had really amazing mentors, like the publisher of Vogue and like the head of fashion at LaSalle. And they were able to really instill confidence in me that I was like either like going in the right direction or I just trusted my gut because I had been out of design for almost a decade that I felt very rusty. And I was up against all these other amazing designers that had established brands and very well known in Singapore. So it was pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just.
So you had to design a couple of pieces to put into the competition. Is that how it worked? Or what was the.
Yeah. So there's an application process. And to make it to top 10, you had to design one piece and a portfolio and like a sketch concept. So then from there, once you made a top 10 finalist, they picked the top 10 from that one piece. And then the top 5 was selected from there. And then you had to make a 5-piece capsule collection.
Oh.
So, and you had a couple months to do that. And that's when you got like more mentorship and, you know, it was literally like a mini project runway. It was quite fun, but very stressful.
What kind of style will the clothes be that you're going to do? Is it only women's fashion, men's fashion? How's that? What's it going to look like when you actually launch the lines?
Well, I like to do women's wear because, you know, I like to wear things that I can wear. But it was really interesting because the theme was Singapore stories for the competition. And what I thought was fascinating was that all 5 of us picked a different era of Singapore to focus on. You know, some of them picked like her grandparents migrated to Singapore as like one of the early immigrants. And she focused on that. Another one was about like, you know, the uprising of Singapore and how it rose to power. And then, you know, I focus on the future of Singapore and like present day, because I actually live Marina Bay. I overlook Marina Bay Sands and Gardens by the Bay. And I go to Jewel all the time. And so I'm really inspired by the modern architecture here, all the juxtaposition of nature and technology that you see, and like its emphasis on sustainability. So I really crafted my collection based on these themes. And so I used like pretty innovative fabrics that looked like laser cut. I also 3D printed some of my own accessories. I used very unconventional fabrics to kind of like mimic the like the crystal clouds made of metal. And then I upcycled fabric. So I actually literally took one of my Indian dresses that I had designed for this wedding And I cut it all up. And my friends thought I was crazy because I had spent, I don't know, probably $4,000 on this Indian gown. And I was just like literally taking scissors to it, just like chopping it up into pieces so I could upcycle the fabric. And, you know, from that one dress, I was able to like use the fabric across like five different pieces. Hmm. And, you know, it turned out amazing. And I was really happy with it.
So what's next now for Carol Chen, the brand?
So we will have the opportunity to show at Paris Fashion Week next October. So for that, I'll be designing a full collection of more pieces in order to like fully launch. And in the meantime, I'll probably also still focus on Mascella because, again, you know, I am an entrepreneur first and foremost. And, you know, you need money to eat. And like, that's what's paying the bills right now.
Yeah.
So while the pandemic is happening, and it's really, you know, I get emails almost every day of customers saying how, you know, how grateful they are that we have created beautiful masks to help them with this time. You know, they say, you know, COVID is a terrible time, but because of your beautiful masks, it makes it so much easier. And I still am able to feel stylish and beautiful when I go out, even though I have to cover half my face.
Yeah.
And so I love hearing stories like that because it is a really hard time for everybody. And just, you know, adding that special sparkle and like being able to like make it a little bit more lighthearted situation is really great.
And then that's very much what you heard though when you had Covitella as well, right? I mean, there's really this idea of, you know, women that wanted to go out to a special event, a special evening occasion, and you really enjoyed helping them to feel good about doing that, as I recall from years gone by.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when I first came here, I realized everything's so expensive here, especially when it comes to designer clothes. Mm. And it didn't seem right that, like, unless you spend $1,000 on a dress, you can't look beautiful, right? Yeah. And so we really did create this, like, complete styling destination. Because a lot of women also don't know how to piece things together. So we offer, like, shoes, jewelry, bags, the whole Cinderella experience to help them look beautiful. And, you know, now that events are gone, we try to, like, you know, transition that energy into like just, you know, making them feel beautiful with our masks.
So you go from that to cutting up $4,000 dresses. interesting. You really are on a journey, aren't you?
Yeah. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Exactly. That could be your new motto, I think. Whatever it takes. Carol Chen, thank you so much for being with us today on the show. From Covitella to Mascella to now Carol Chen, the brand. Congratulations on the latest endeavor. I hope it goes well for you.
Thank you so much, Glenn. It's been a pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.